This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Hey, what's up? Chris Ducker here, and welcome to episode number 130 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, today we are blessed to be in the presence of greatness. Literally, my brother Lewis House from the School of Greatness podcast is in the house to talk about his brand new book, funnily enough, entitled The School of Greatness. Man, there is going to be a lot of buzz about this book in the next few weeks, and we're stoked to get Lewis onto the show to talk about what it really takes to be great, regardless of what we're doing in life and business. I feel like we've been on such an amazing run over these last few weeks. First, we had Michael Port in the house in the last few weeks. And we had Jada Selner from Simple Green Smoothies. And here we are with Lewis House from the School of Greatness. I mean, this is great. I mean, what a bloody good podcast this actually is. I mean, we got some great shows coming up for you as well in the coming weeks and months. So make sure you stick around. Subscribe if you haven't already on iTunes. And for those of you who are already on the inside of youpreneur.com, my private mastermind community, thank you. I'm thoroughly enjoying all of the masterminding and the accountability sessions that we're doing together inside of the membership. It's great. And for those of you who are not a member already and want to check that out, you can just go to youpreneur.com for all of the details. I'd love to welcome you on the inside. So onto this chat with Lewis. You know, I've known Lewis for 4, 5, maybe almost 6 years now, actually, and he has just continued to get better and better and better at what he does, the way that he produces his content, the way that he just builds his brand, the way that he just does what he does, quite frankly. He's probably one of the nicest guys that I know that I've met from the online business world. Just an incredible person all around, and somebody that truly does value relationships as much as I do, maybe even more than I do. And that's saying something, because I really do place a premium on building the right kind of relationships. In this chat, we break down a ton of different stuff. We talk about fitness. We talk about health and nutrition. We talk about relationships. We talk about building businesses. But most importantly, we talk about what it truly takes to be great at whatever it is that you're doing. And I know you're just going to enjoy this conversation. It's going to uplift you. It's going to inspire you. And here it is, myself and Lewis Howes from the School of Greatness. So, Lewis, welcome to Youpreneur FM, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, bro. It truly is.
So always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Look, you know, for you guys listening in, or if you end up watching, we're split-screen video recording this at the same time. If you end up watching that, wherever I end up posting it online, but it's no secret. We're close friends, and everybody knows that we got a lot of love for each other. But this, for me, this is game time, bro. And you know all about game time. This is it.
You this are is not, my Olympics right now.
It sure is. The School of Greatness book we're recording this quite far in advance, but by the time this goes live, it'll be out either a few days before or a few days after. There he is holding it up. Yeah, loud and proud. How much Photoshop was done on that?
This is just pure natural beauty.
All right, good. It's good to know. I expect nothing else. So let me ask you, man. We could go in so many different directions with this chat. We know each other real good. The audience obviously might not know you as well as I do. But I want to ask you this very blatant, upfront question out of the gate here. And I'm not going to go easy on you just because we're good friends. But I'm going to throw it at you right here. What does greatness mean to you?
It means something to me different every day because I give a different answer all the time. So I want to just share what's opening up for me right now.
Yeah. That's a deep sigh.
What it means to me is to use your gifts that you were born with, maximize them to the fullest, to make the biggest amount of impact on people in the world and be completely used up when it's your last day.
I like that. So really just giving 110% throughout everything that you're doing.
Yes.
And no matter who comes into contact with you, you're going to bring some kind of goodness to them and what they're all about. Right.
Making the maximum amount of impact on the maximum amount of people while fulfilling your dreams.
I love that. Now, for you, the School of Greatness podcast has been a journey. Let's say that. I mean, you know, you've had Olympic gold medalists, you've had best-selling authors, you've had world-renowned speakers. I mean, you've had people like Tony Robbins on your show.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not easy to get, you know, interviews with people of that kind of stature. I mean, you know, the show's success came to no real surprise to anybody that knew you well. But I mean, have you been surprised at how big this juggernaut of a podcast has become?
You know,
you're gonna be like, no, of course I'm not surprised.
You know, in some sense, you know, this was my dream and my vision was to make it this big. I didn't know it would be this big this fast. I didn't know I'd be able to get all these guests on this quickly. I didn't know really where it was going to end up. Originally, it was just like, I have access to a lot of these great individuals and I have an audience that I want to get them this information. I want to continue to learn myself and continue to grow and learn lessons every single day. So for some reasons, it was selfish, but then also I wanted to give it back to everyone who was on my audience and my network. It originally was just one episode a week was what I was committed to doing for the first year. And a couple of weeks I missed. It was just like a side thing. And then the second year, people were like, we really want more. You know, I can only hear it once a week. What do I do the other 6 days? So I said, okay, I'm going to commit to 2 a week. But one was already a lot of time to like batch it with all the business I had going on. And then this third year, I'm in my third year. I'm about 2.5 years in. People were like, we want more. So I said, man, 2 a week is a lot. But I was like, okay, well, maybe I can get creative and do 3 a week, but make it simpler where the third episode is really just like a 5 to 10 minute inspiration. So
right.
Now I do them 3 times a week because that's what people have asked for. And I want to continue to serve them in a big way.
So this is 5 Minute Friday here.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think that's, I mean, I hate to say it, but I see everybody talking about that on social. It's like that's almost overtaken in terms of popularity to the main show. I mean, did you see that one coming?
It's funny. I give credit to that is Chalene Johnson. She's the one who gave me that idea. She was like, you should do a little, you know, a third episode, which is like a shorter inspirational piece, something, you know, just do like 5 to 15 minutes. I was like, okay, what about 5 Minute Fridays if I'm already doing Monday and Wednesday, why don't I just do this thing called 5 Minute Friday? But she was the one who was like, you should do something where it's just you. And I had no clue. I was like, you know what I love? I love those YouTube motivational videos with all like the cool video and like the step into your greatness, you know, like,
right,
you know, like
right.
Eric Thomas or whoever's talking over it or all the Will Smith quotes. And that I could watch those for days. So I was like, I want to create that where it's got this music overtone. And it's got my voice where I'm really sharing powerful, inspirational tips and quotes and things like that. And I did my first one and I was like, I have no clue how this is going to go. But people loved it.
They
people
did.
Were like, this is amazing. It's inspiring. I can put it – they put it on repeat because it's only 5 to 10 minutes. So it's just a different format. And I wanted to be unique. You know, Sally Hogshead says different is better than better. And I was like, I just want to be – better than everyone, but in order to be better, you've got to be unique. You've got to be different. You've got to do something that's outside of everyone else's wheelhouse. So if everyone else is doing interviews constantly, then do a solo. If everyone else is doing solo, then add music to it or whatever. You know, do something that's different or only a few people are doing. So that's what I tried to incorporate, and it's proven powerful. And we'll see what happens next year. See what I do.
Yeah, well, let's find out. You know, I cannot see you going 7 days a week anytime soon.
No, I don't see that happening.
But, I mean, we love a little more, Lewis. You know what I'd like to see from you, actually? I'd like to see more videos. Like, I'd like to see more. I mean, I've been to your apartment in LA. I mean, you've got a great spot. You've got beautiful decor. You've got a great home office with the School of Greatness theme and the lockers and the jerseys and everything. Like, I'd like to see more kind of like 2 minute videos. Like, you could get a film crew into your place for the day, dude. You could batch like 20 of these videos in one day and be good for the year, literally. Stop being so lazy.
I'm shooting that next week. I'm doing like 10 different episodes. By the time this comes out, you'll probably see them.
Okay.
You would have seen these videos because I'm releasing a lot more video for my book launch.
Right. Okay.
With these shorter content.
You know, we had the pleasure of having you come over for Tropical Think Tank.
It was amazing, and I highly recommend everyone sign up if it's not sold out yet, which it probably is.
It is sold out, yeah, for next year.
Oh, jeez. So put down your down payment for the future year.
For 2017.
I saw the lineup, and I was like, man, the lineup looks incredible this year. You got Brian Clark. You got lots of big names.
Yeah, yeah. We've been very blessed to now build up somewhat of a not a mystique, but you know, there's a nice vibe about the event now.
Yeah.
Both between the speakers and the attendees, everybody seems to have such a good time. So it's, I don't want to say, I mean, I'm touching wood when I say this, you know, I don't want to get to the point where it's tough to find great speakers. Hopefully anybody would want to come over, but I bring it up because you did the closing keynote at the event, and it was probably one of the most different. And we talk about being different, right? It was probably one of the most different keynotes that I've ever had the pleasure of being involved with. You made our attendees cry again, and then turn into complete animals at the end with their war cry. Yeah, all this sort of stuff. And for you guys that are listening in, I'll put this split screen video live on my YouTube channel, and we'll embed it on the show notes as well. I'll get my video editor to overloop some B-roll of Lewis's keynote, so you can,
that'd be cool.
You can see. Yes, it will be cool. It will be cool. This will be coming out. Hang on, let me have a look. This is how ghetto we are here at this show. Okay, so this is going to be episode 130. So show notes for that, chrisducker.com/episode130 if you want to watch the video and a few other bits and pieces. But man, that keynote, you talk about using music and stuff like that. That was the first time I've actually seen anybody talking, like actually presenting with music playing in the background. And where it wasn't irritating, you know, sometimes levels can be weird and all this sort of stuff. And I mean, we have, you know, a great sound crew and everything there, but you did such a great job at timing it all. It was scary. Like, dude, it was so scary how good that closing keynote was. And the reason why it's so vivid in my memory is I watched it back about 3 or 4 days ago, almost in its entirety. And I actually cried watching it. I'm man enough to admit I shed a tear, because there's one part, and you probably remember this, there was an Australian couple there, Kelly, and he had been working 16-hour days, you know, laptop on the knee in bed and all the rest of it for years and years, and she said that her biggest thing was that she wanted her to have her husband back, that she was done allowing the business to have her husband all the time. And she was crying and he was crying. And then I'm watching it back and I'm crying. And I'm like, how did Lewis not cry? Like, how is this even possible? You're in the middle of it all. So I just wanted to say thank you, man, for doing such an amazing job with the crowd. And it was incredible, incredible keynote. And for you guys tuning in, you can see that keynote in its entirety as part of the Upreneur membership. So when you become a Upreneur member, you'll be able to see that in its entirety along with all the other sessions. So,
we also did another Q&A there that was pretty intimate that I think is part of the Upreneur community as well.
It is, yeah. That's one of our expert chit-chats. It came out great, and that's also going to be in there soon as well. You're absolutely right. So who are some of your biggest mentors then? Like when you think about like getting inspiration and getting motivation to keep your greatness flow going, who are some of the people that you turn to?
Currently,
yeah,
man.
And you don't embarrass me. You don't have to mention me.
Well, exactly. It's interesting. You know, my mentors really are kind of like my close friends now, I would say. So you would be one of them, actually. I mean, I'm constantly, you know, I watch your Periscopes. I see what you're doing. I see your branding. I'm constantly seeing what all my friends are doing, and I feel blessed to call my mentors my friends now, because, you know, my friends just are so smart and intelligent, and they're always ahead of the curve in everything that I'm trying to learn. But I'm also reaching out and connecting with people like Ryan Blair, who is not really in this online space, but has like a couple hundred million dollar health company called Visalis. He sold it for like $600 or $700 million. So this is like just a guy that thinks on a different level.
Sure.
He's got 30,000 sales reps around the world. He's opening up in new countries. He's just like a whole nother level of thinking than just us little online marketer business people.
Right.
So I really love like my time when I go and try to hike with him once a month in LA. Another guy named Tom Bilyeu, who's the co-founder of Quest Nutrition, which I believe is almost a $1 billion company now. They have 2,000 employees, I think. Been having a lot more phone calls with him. So people who are just building a brand and a business on such a high level with thousands of employees, for me, that's so out of this world different than what I'm doing that I pull so much inspiration from what those guys are doing. But the funny thing is that they are constantly emailing and texting me, asking me questions about how to run webinars and how to do this and that. So even though I think that they've got it all figured out, they're constantly learning as well. Just like I do with my friends, with you. I'm constantly texting you and other guys or girls who, you know, Shalene Johnson is a big mentor, but she's also a great friend, and I'm constantly learning from her. So that's, Tim Ferriss, you know, all these guys.
I like that sentiment. I like that sentiment of your friends being your mentors. I think that says a lot about your character as well, because if you remember when I introed you at Tropical Think Tank, I mentioned that you had grown up. Because we've known each other, 4 or 5 years now, but the last couple of years, but I think really actually that the big turn was when you started School of Greatness podcast. I think that was what it was. And I think you started surrounding yourself with these people, not that you didn't have cool people around you before, but I think that was the turning point from what I could see from a friendship perspective, where I really saw you grow up, like you grew up as a person, and you started giving more love, you started giving more affection, you started obviously taking all of that as well. And it just made you a better person. And not that you were an asshole or anything beforehand, but I mean, it was like, it just made you a nicer person to be with and to want to be with as well. And so, and I think that's a great sentiment. Your friends are your mentor. I love that sentiment. So now, look, you mentioned, you know, hiking, you mentioned nutrition, you mentioned obviously you're in, you know, ex-pro athlete, all the rest of it. You are a super healthy guy. You take care of yourself. You're in shape, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, he's in the Philippines, and I'm like, you want a mojito? What do you want, Manhattan? When he's like, no, I'll just get a coconut juice. I'm like, what? but anyway, it is what it is. I mean,
coconut water.
You're right. Yeah. So see, I don't even know what he ordered. So what? How much effort do you need to put into your fitness and your nutrition? Because it's a struggle for a lot of people. Like, I think we all know we want to be fit and healthy, but how much effort? Does it really come that naturally to you nowadays, now that you're so much more busier as an entrepreneur?
Well, I think it's, you know, there was like a year and a half when I was starting out in the business side of things after playing football where I didn't really take that much care of my body or my nutrition or my exercise or my sleep. I was just focused on making money and building something. And then I realized I wasn't Superman anymore. That I wasn't just going to have this metabolism that was going to be able to be, you know, shredded and jacked without doing anything, like when I was doing 6 hours of training a day.
Right.
I just thought it would stay with me. And so I've really learned over the years to build in the habits to create time to work out, to create time to sleep, even though that may sound weird. But it's
how many hours do you average on a daily basis?
I like to get 8 hours.
Okay.
My goal is 8 hours, but it's usually like 7.5.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you don't get 7 hours of sleep, you're really missing out on being more productive, having more energy, recovering faster, being mentally sharp. So I just feel like it's a non-negotiable. There are obviously days and nights where I don't get as much sleep when I'm traveling or I'm speaking. Sure. Like I've got my book tour coming up. I'm going to be going all of November. I'm going to be pretty much gone on a flight somewhere. And I may be up all night because that's what I got to do. I got to show up and perform and I'll sleep in or something, or I'll take a nap. But the ritual is to set myself up to work out in the morning, to set myself up to have healthy meals, mostly home-cooked meals, and then to get enough sleep.
When you think about that book tour and what's coming up very, very soon for you, how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, I prepare by doing it months in advance. So just today, even when we're recording this, which is months in advance, I went over 13 different cities, mapping it out, all the different places I'm planning to go, where people are going to buy a couple thousand copies for me to come and show up and speak and do a signing. And we mapped out the entire thing now, not 3 weeks before, not any of that. It's doing it months and months in advance. You know, I hired a PR firm 6 months before the book comes out, as opposed to 2 months before.
Right.
I have been thinking and visualizing of what I'm going to be creating this entire launch. I've been building relationships for 7 years that I haven't asked anything from people and just giving as much value, making as much money as I can for those people to finally say, hey, can you give me 30 grand so I can buy some copies and give them all to your clients, your customers? I've been so strategic with every decision I've made, with every relationship I've built, not in the sense of, you know, I'm doing this so that they give me something at some point, but really to add value and make as much money or make as much impact on what they're doing and promote their word, their message, their books, whatever it may be, so that hopefully one day they would just be like, Lewis, I have to help you back. Like,
yeah.
I want to. Like, I just am so grateful that we've become friends over the years now. How can I serve you? That's really what it's all about. But it's doing it in a way that's giving first, not taking first, but fully, you know, Adam Grant's got a book called Give and Take, but it's really giving first is my thing. It's not about asking ever for help from someone, because that usually just doesn't work out.
No, and I mean, you know, it's not like you were building those relationships just for this one moment, but you also...
Well, I'm not asking them for anything else.
No, not at all. Exactly. Yeah. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking friends for help. I mean, the people that we know, love, and trust, we want them to succeed.
Yes.
We want them to do well. But, yes. You know, you also have to understand that those relationships should be cherished. And I know you cherish your relationships. A lot of people use relationships, and I don't like those kind of people. You know, we all know people like that, particularly in the online space. And if you're smart in any way, shape, or form, you basically avoid them like the plague, because sooner or later, they're going to let you down. One way or another, yeah. Now, you sent me this advanced galley. This is not the full
first
book.
Chapter.
Yeah, the first chapter. It was the intro and the first chapter or so. I'm going to read out the inscription here, right? I'm holding up the inscription. I'm going to hold it up.
Go ahead.
And you say, Chris, you're my hero, and I appreciate how you show up in the world and for your incredible friendship. So there you go. I didn't ask him to write that, everybody. He just did that anyway because of the kind of guy he is.
Well, here's the thing about you, Chris.
Be nice now.
You're so genuine with your giving, and you're so genuine with your information, specifically, you know, with me, but with everyone you come in touch with. And there's a realness about you that makes people want to fall in love with you. And so everything I say about you is 100% true, and I always enjoy and cherish our time when we get to hang out and do stuff like this.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. I appreciate it. So in here... You write, and I made a note on the screen here actually before we start going. You say, in the first chapter, you say, you become what you envision yourself being. Where do you see yourself being in, say, 5 years from now? What are you going to become?
Man, that's a long way away. 5 years.
Right? It is. It's a long way off.
It's hard to think past this book launch right now, to be honest. I envision myself... being a number one New York Times bestseller for this book.
So now you're being specific with this goal. I want to put it out there. You're being very specific with this goal. Number one New York Times.
If I'm not being specific, I'm going to get very unspecific results. If I'm just saying, I hope to be a bestseller, what does that mean?
Right.
So I know that I need to be very specific. It's freaking scary for me to say that. I'm not going to lie, because what if it doesn't happen?
Right.
Then what? Then what I say is not going to work, and I might as well never say it. Or am I putting myself out there to fail? Maybe. And I've come to the point where my dream was to be in the Olympics, and we didn't qualify this year. But I spent 5 years of my life giving my body and sacrificing to have this dream come true. But I also knew that it was a long shot. And the lessons and the journey and the people and the experiences I've had in the last 5 years, traveling the world with USA national team, the things I've learned about myself competing at a high level at 32 years old, like, are priceless. And even though I didn't achieve the vision, I had to have the vision in there to give me the energy and the momentum to stay committed for 5 years. Mm. Otherwise, there's nothing to fight for. There's nothing to sacrifice for. So my vision is number one New York Times bestseller. If it doesn't happen, I'm mature enough emotionally at this time in my life, a couple of years ago, maybe I wouldn't have been, at this time in all of my life to say, it's okay. But still, if I get the book out there in a powerful way to millions of people and inspire people and open up possibilities and they get results, that's the real vision. The accomplishment would be the number one New York Times bestseller,
right,
of creating the vision of inspiring millions of people around the world.
Right.
And if it doesn't happen in the first week, but I'm still able to get this out there to so many people over the next years, then for me, it's still fulfilling. Would it be nice to hit number one? Yes. But there's a circumstances and challenges and things that may not be up to my control.
Of course.
If there was a game that I could master, then I would do it. And so I'm essentially doing everything in my power to ask my audience, to ask favors, to ask everyone I've interviewed, all the press, doing the preparation for years to set myself up for the best possibility, but it may or may not happen.
Right. And actually, yes, I know you want this big time, but I also know you well enough to know that when you say, you know what, if it doesn't happen and I still get this book in the hands of hundreds of thousands of people around the world and it helps them, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. So, and here's the worst case. I mean, what's the worst case scenario here? You change lives. I mean, that's pretty big.
Tough life.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, I've had people come up to me when I've done, you know, keynotes and signings for Virtual Freedom when I was promoting it last year. I had one lady, and she's actually been on the show, Lauren Groutman. She was on the show talking about Pinterest. She became a big Pinterest expert. And she came up to me in San Diego when I was doing a keynote there around the time of the book launch. And she said to me, I picked up your book 2 months ago, and it's changed my life. As the main breadwinner for my family, it's changed my life. I can directly put an additional $6,000 in my pocket on a monthly basis now because of what I've got from your book. I mean, when you hear those words, it's changed my life. Regardless of how it's happened, it's a good thing, right?
It's powerful, very powerful.
Let's talk power for a minute. You've got hundreds of thousands of people tuning into this podcast every week, every month. You've got a legion of fans online in social. You do bedtime banter periscopes where hundreds of people turn up. Maybe they just want to see Lewis with no shirt on in bed. I'm going to go out on a limb.
I've been keeping my shirt on because I want to keep it classy.
The first couple you didn't though, and I was like,
I did one without a shirt on.
I was like, he's got no shirt. Because
I was already in bed. I was already in bed, like flipping through my phone, and I was like, let me just turn it on. And I was like, I should probably keep this above the neck though. So
yes, good idea for periscope. So, yeah. I mean, that's power. Right? Having all those people waiting to hear from you, that's power to a certain degree. I mean, do you think that when we have that kind of fandom, that kind of community that loves us that much, can that be seen as power? I mean, I kind of look at it not in a bad way, like crack the whip kind of way, but I mean, that's power. Like, you people are waiting to hear from you. How do you handle that and not become an egotistical a-hole?
I hang around people from Ohio.
And okay.
They keep me grounded. My family, my best friend from Ohio, who is now my COO, he keeps me grounded, puts me in check. Everyone on my team.
So but people think, that knew you before that came your way, right?
Now, when I was sleeping on my sister's couch, all my friends. And I think also I'm very the reason that I think I've continued to grow and my podcast grows is because I keep, I would say I'm very confident, but I keep a level of gratitude and humility and appreciation constantly. And I think no matter how much bigger or whatever happens in the future with me or my brand, the reason why it's going to continue to grow is because I'm being grateful for what I have and expressing my gratitude on a consistent basis. And giving love to people and valuing people who follow me. Am I always going to say the perfect thing? Probably not. Am I going to piss people off at times? Probably. But I think as long as my intention is pure and it comes from a place of love and giving, and I'm putting that out there as much as I can, then that's all I can ask for and to do the best that I can.
Absolutely. Nobody's perfect, right? We're all going to drop the ball every now and then. I think what matters is how we pick the ball back up again. I think that's what it is. So You've used this word a lot, and I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with this word, hustle. I think that, and remember, I'm older than you. That's why I have less hair, evidently. And I feel that the word hustle is being overused. You know, everyone's like, you gotta hustle, man. Gotta hustle. You know, if you want success, you gotta hustle. I just call that working hard. Like, maybe I'm a little old school. I don't know. I mean, I use the word every now and then as well, but I don't use it 20 times a day, and neither do you, for the record. But, I mean, what does that mean, that word hustle, to you? And obviously, you're an ex-football player. You're an athlete and all the rest of it. Like, you, it means more, I think, in the athletic terms. It makes more sense to me anyway, because I used to play basketball a lot, you know. So, I mean, like, I mean,
the only thing on the on a sports game with points, the only thing – that doesn't lie, other than the scoreboard, is the amount of hustle that someone has or a team has. You can't, you know, whether the person gets the loose ball or not, the one that gets it is the one that hustles more, the one that was willing to sacrifice and do whatever it took. And I think if you can apply that in your business, you know, I think it's Angela Duckworth is the one that calls it grit. She says it's the number one factor of successful people is this thing called grit, which essentially I call hustle, because that's what I've been calling it for years, since my brother taught me back 10 years ago when I'd watch him schlep around CDs after each one of his jazz gigs, putting a CD in everyone's hands, saying, let me know what you think. Can you buy a copy? Like, after everyone was just shameless in his promotion and had no shame in his game of hustling, because he needed to make a couple extra $100 after that gig because he made $50 in the night to support his family. So I witnessed this at an early age. I'd see my father hustling, going from meeting to meeting as a life insurance salesman, doing whatever it took, you know, just like putting in the hard work, what you call it. And for me, I feel like this is one of my keys to getting to where I am, is because I was willing to stay up late a lot of nights and meet people after conferences and put in the work. It's because I was willing to spend extra time on things and research and be an early adapter when no one else was doing things and put in the hours, when I was willing to go out of my way to make introductions or add value to people, constantly delaying my gratification always for the bigger wins, for the bigger moments. You know, 7.5 year journey of writing this book, it's really came down to how much energy and effort was I going to put into to make myself ready enough to write the book that I wanted to write so that it could be received by millions of people. And you know, a lot of people talk about having a balanced lifestyle, but I look at it back in sports terms. It's all about having the right seasons in place. And when you're in season, you've got to hustle. Like, you can't be balanced. You've got to, you know, I've got this book coming out. I can't just be like, you know what? I'm just going to take naps throughout the day and have a balanced lifestyle, and I'm not going to work hard.
Right.
Like, now is the time to hustle.
Right.
Once the book launch is over and I've done everything I need to with press and everything, then I can take a little off season.
Yeah, chill time.
I can balance. But I don't know anyone. If you can tell me anyone, any big successful person in any sport or business or any field who has relaxed to get to the top and who didn't put energy and hustle and hard work in, get to a point where they could leverage the momentum. Maybe they're relaxed now, but they spent decades of hard work and sacrifice to get to where they are. If you can tell me someone, then I would love to know that case study of what that person did. But usually most people spent a period of time where they put a lot of hustle and hard work into something to build momentum, build the skills, the credibility to be where they are.
Mm. Agreed, 120%. You don't get nowhere in life without working hard. It's a given. And I like the way that you brought up that, because I was going to bring it up anyway. I like the way you brought up the whole work-life balance thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to the point, as you know, I mean, you've met my family, man. I mean, like, you know, it's for me that work-life balance is a thing. Like, it's a thing that I want and I truly chase after it. So I don't work Fridays anymore.
But
I haven't for a couple of years.
But you hustle the first 4 days of the week.
Monday through to Thursday is hardcore. 7 hours every single day of hardcore. Like, my schedule is a wreck. Like, there's very little breathing room. But that's the way I do it. I get the balance that way.
So you've got your hustling during the season. Your weekend is the off season.
That's right. And I have a 3-day weekend, y'all.
That's great.
I bring it. That's what it's about.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, final question to you. I think that one of the best things that you can do when you get into a position of success or greatness or whatever you want to call it is give back. And it's something that I've done quietly for many years here in the Philippines, where I sponsor a lot of children to go to school and, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And I do the majority of it here locally anonymously because as a foreigner here in the Philippines, you don't want to put yourself on that kind of pedestal if you're living here for a number of reasons, which I'll allow your imaginations for you guys tuning into a run to run awry here. But recently you got into bed with Adam Braun, Pencils of Promise, and myself and the Upreneur community are now in bed with him as well. 10% of every single membership every single month gets sent the Pencils of Promise. And it's amazing. I don't know how many schools we're going to end up building for this amazing organization, but I know that every single one that we do is going to make a world of difference. You have a unique relationship with Adam and a Pencils of Promise organization. I started talking to you about it when we were having drinks on the beach that night here at Tropical Think Tank. And you were like, oh, really? You want to do that? Okay. And he did not mess around. He gets his phone out and sends an intro email to Adam Braun right there on the beach. He's like, I'm not going to mess around here. How important is this relationship that you have with the Pencils of Promise organization for you and your brand and your life going forward?
I mean, it's important. I mean, they have a great brand. They have a great mission. And that's really the reason I got into it was to, you know, me and my former business partner, we were like, we really wanted to start giving back. We were making a lot of money. And we were like, what is something we can do to give back? We both agreed that, you know, being a part of education and schools was something we wanted to do, but we didn't know the right. We were going to like just do it on our own. We didn't know like what to do. We were doing some research. And then I met Adam and I saw he was already doing this and I was believing in him and his mission. So I jumped on board, built a school. Then I joined the advisory board. And, you know, I'm a bigger part of it now because I'm just so inspired by what they're doing. And it's like, I don't have the energy to build that on my own, but sure. I can fund it. I can be a part of it here and there. Yeah. I can bring in other people. And Adam is just a great human being. So the relationship for me is really important to serve him, to serve kids, to serve the other advisory board members. And it's also become, you know, this incredible network of entrepreneurs and thought leaders who are part of the advisory board or part of building schools. So there's other benefits that come from it by having that partnership. Mm-hmm. But I think the mission for me is to continue to serve and be of service.
So a quick follow-up question then. Before you were in town for Tropical Think Tank this year, you were in Thailand visiting a few schools and things like that. So what was your most fondest memory of that part of your Asian trip?
Oh, man. Well, besides being in the Philippines with you?
Yeah. I'm talking about the Pencils of Promise.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many moments. I mean, there were so many moments. It's amazing. I've been to Guatemala on a trip there and hanging out with the kids. But
I've seen video. I've seen video of you like playing football and stuff with the
kids.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
what are you, 6'6"? 6'5"?
6'4".
So you're 6'4". Yeah. The kids are like 3 foot tall.
Exactly.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's great.
There are two moments that came to mind. Okay. One was walking, you know, driving up and parking and the driver saying, this is your school. And for me, I'd never seen one of my schools. So walking up and just kind of having like a moment and seeing that it was dedicated to my sister, Heidi, it really brought me, you know, to tears seeing what I was able to create to give back to a community that needed something more than I needed it.
Right.
And to honor my sister for all the love that she's given me over the years and have her on there. And it was the School of Greatness is dedicated to Heidi Howes. And it was the community, you know, I gave the money and I donated, but really it's the community of people that signed up for the School of Greatness that I pulled the money from. So it was like, we built it together.
Sure.
So that was an amazing moment. And also there was an experience where they did like a celebration for us at one point. And it was just like the most incredibly loving experience of all the people from the town coming. And they were like wrapping these strings around our wrists and kind of like doing some type of blessing. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking another language, but it was just like, everyone was over 80 years old. It was like the grandparents of the community coming
and
essentially thanking us.
The elders.
It was just like the most – I was just like, oh, it was unbelievable. So, yeah, it's just an amazing experience.
Sure is. Well, look, man, you are amazing. You know I got a lot of love and fondness for you. So is my wife. So is my kids. and yes. you know, and the community, you know, the Upreneur community, we love you. And I know you're going to kill it with this. I know you're going to kill it with this book.
Thanks, man.
And whether you hit that New York Times, you know, or sorry, number one New York Times list, whether you do it or not, you're incredibly great in your own mind and in your, the way that you do things. It's going to be incredible to see how much further you can take what you've started already in the next few years. I can't wait to be there, and I'll be there with you every step of the way.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, you guys tuning in, thank you very much. Show notes as promised, as well as some video footage of Lewis and I chatting it up, and at Tropical Think Tank as well. Show note page, chrisducker.com/episode130. Thank you very much for tuning in as always, and we'll be back at you again next week. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.